This is Strange Harbor.
The evidence is overwhelming that what we were taught in school about ancient human civilization, particularly about the ancient Egyptians, is far from accurate. Specifically, that our true history was once far older and advanced than we ever thought possible. And the most recent scientific evidence further demonstrates that the Great Pyramid of Giza, Egypt, was not a tomb built for the pharaohs, but is literally a massive technological structure that is beyond our current understanding. You may have seen the news articles that reported on a recent study published in the Journal of Applied Physics, which showed that the Great Pyramid can concentrate electromagnetic energy inside of its internal chambers, as well as under its base and inside the subterranean chamber. Because of this discovery, which was based off calculations of the pyramid, we are able to advance nanosensor technology. So it just so happens that the largest and most mysterious structure ever built, done with extreme precision which mimics modern day laser cut technology, and they say that they did this with chisels and bronze saws. Those proposed methods have long been since debunked. Did you know that the location of the Great Pyramid of Giza, Egypt, just so happens to be the location that they were going to choose to be the prime meridian? It's funny how they never mentioned that not one single mummy was ever found in any of these pyramids ever. We don't even mention that in school for some reason. The most mysterious structure in the history of mankind just so happens to be located on this one unique spot. And here's another fact to add on top of that. The Great Pyramid faces true north almost perfectly. In fact, down to a fraction of 1 degree of accuracy. It just so happens that they are able to focus and concentrate on electromagnetic energy, which they are saying is going to help us advance our modern technology. Is it possible that the Great Pyramid of Giza was a power plant that somehow operated on the same premise that Nikola Tesla had theorized? I think that it's possible, indeed probable, that we are a species with amnesia, that we've lost the record of our story going back thousands of years before so-called history began. And I think if we could go back to that dark epoch, we would discover many astounding things about ourselves.
Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. This is Strange Harbor.
And another exciting episode of Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird, and our co-host Bill isn't feeling too well. So Star Mom returns to...
Yay,
Star Mom! We could have ran like another rerun, which, you know, Bill's been sick the last episode or two. We felt like we're ripping the listeners off. We're really shortchanging the listeners. I know those are big shoes to fill, Star Mom.
I'll do my best.
So what have you been up to?
Well, I recently went to Mars.
Okay, yeah, and how was it?
Well, cold.
Cold on Mars?
Kind of windy.
What's up with the whole Mars and the pyramids were just a play on and trick on light?
Yeah, NASA calls that pareidolia.
Yeah.
But if you study those pyramids, they're geometric. They're 19.5 angles. So NASA always has this habit of telling you you don't see what you see. One of the pyramidal structures has perfect symmetry, and NASA says, well, it's just a rock. Yeah, it's a rock. It's something made out of a rock, like our pyramids. You could look at our pyramids and say, well, those are rocks.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. They're rocks.
They're rocks, all right. So it's more than just a bunch of coincidences that these shapes on Mars, they don't look like pyramids by accident?
Dr. Hoagland, who worked for NASA, studied the whole complex at Cydonia.
Wait, what's that? Cydonia?
Cydonia. Cydonia Mensa is the region on Mars where... we saw the face and the pyramidal structures.
Okay, so that's the name of the area.
He claims there's this geometric pattern to it all. The whole layout is a buried city. Now, this other guy completely refutes Hoagland and says there's no mathematical information there at all. It's just a bunch of rocks collected together.
Okay.
But what do? Look for yourself. And it's not the only pyramidal structure on Mars.
There's more than that?
Oh, yeah. Exopolitics.org. There's an image of a pyramidal structure that's maybe the size of a small car. But and they think the rest of the structure is buried.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's like just the tip of it.
Yeah, just the capstone.
Okay.
It has straight line geometry and symmetry, which all points to it's being artificial.
Okay.
NASA says it's just a rock.
Just a rock.
The curious thing that happened was... they were imaging this area, They see this pyramidal structure, and mysteriously enough, they don't take another single image of it. Curiosity rover wasn't curious.
Right.
But then those rovers are programmed to look for specific things. They could go right by a body laying there in the sand and totally ignore it because they're looking for whatever they're programmed to find.
Oh, I get it.
So they don't have that interpretive nature.
They could have drove by an alien standing there.
Waving at us, yeah.
Right.
Hi, Earth.
Not taking a picture of that because no. I'm looking for this.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. So
that's funny.
You know, this exopolitics.org is a really interesting website. It has a story that also mentions Mars bases and human presence on Mars right now, other than me.
Okay.
Okay.
So, do we have any evidence to any, I mean...
Someone, I, you know, you read things on the internet, you have to sift with your colander what's
right.
true, what isn't.
Right.
Claims to have found 58,000 anomalies on the surface of Mars. Yeah, and think about that. You know, you can dismiss an anomaly or two or three, 20, and
right.
I mean, I see all kinds of things in rocks, clouds.
Right.
You know, we do that.
But how many?
58,000.
Wow. Okay.
Which I think is the tip of the iceberg. So what is an anomaly? What qualifies something as an anomaly? What do we think of it? Is it artificial structure, or as I want to talk about later in the glass tubes of Mars, is it organic? So to do a little history,
mm-hmm.
Giovanni Schiaparelli got the first really good telescopic view and saw channels on the surface of Mars.
Okay.
Later on, Percival Lowell, I think that's 1947, agrees with him. Canals on Mars.
Mm-hmm.
But then in 1965, Mariner 4 revealed Mars to be a totally dead planet. Nothing going on there, no canals, Mars is dead. That's 1965.
Okay.
But in 71, Mariner 9 changed everything.
What happened?
Mars was transformed by this tremendous dust storm that masked the entire planet. And when the dust settled, a world we had not seen was revealed. Huge volcanoes, extinct volcanoes, riverbeds, a vast, tremendous canyon system.
Mm-hmm.
And think about that, dead riverbeds.
Right.
That means there was a river there, honey.
Right. At one point,
yeah,
there was a river.
But then in 1972, that was a good year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mariner 9 sent back an image of pyramids in the Elysium Plateau.
Okay.
That's 15 degrees at the equator. Then in 1976, of course, Viking 1 and 2 surveyed and detailed a region called Cydonia Mensa.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they found this complex of pyramidal structures and the face, right?
Right.
It's funny if you look at the two images. The images from 76, Viking 1 and 2, are very distinct. You can see eyes, a mouth, teeth in the mouth,
mm-hmm.
ornamental etchings around this stone, this tremendous stone.
Mm-hmm.
Then later on in 70, later on I think 81, Mars Global Surveyor takes what they say is a better image, improved technology,
mm-hmm.
and doesn't even look like the same place. That's the theory among some people that... They're trying to discount the face, so they show you a completely different image and say, this is the face that you really see. You're just seeing images, tricks of light and shadow.
Right.
That's same thing as swamp gas and
no,
weather balloons.
Could there be wind on Mars?
Absolutely.
That blew what we thought was the face and made it not look like a face anymore?
Well, there are tremendous windstorms on Mars and full of sand, which... You know, it's really abrasive and erosive.
Mm-hmm.
Hoagland thinks that the face on Mars is a crumbling monument like the Sphinx in Egypt.
Oh.
So here we have another Egyptian reference.
Right, right.
And interestingly, Cairo, the city named Cairo, that word is not an Egyptian word. It is an ancient Sumerian word that literally means Mars.
Wow. Weird.
And the images on the Sphinx, think about this, the Taurus, the lion, the eagle, the man, mm-hmm. are the same four symbols placed around God's throne in John's Revelations. if Hoagland is right, and there are people that dispute him, certainly, that this face on Mars is the same thing as the Sphinx, only highly eroded.
Right. Okay.
Here we have another Egyptian connection. So these symbols that are on the Sphinx in Egypt...
Okay.
...relate back to Mars.
Okay.
Which relate back to John's revelations.
Now, I heard that the Sphinx didn't originally have a face on it. It was like the head of a lion and then one of the egomaniacal pharaohs.
Was it Napoleon that bombarded the Sphinx and...
I don't know. I don't remember.
Thought he'd have some fun there.
Right.
And kind of blew part of the face off.
I guess there's no way to verify this, but the Sphinx originally didn't have a human face or, you know, the face of a pharaoh on it. It was something else.
It's eagle, lion, man, Taurus. I mean, it's these creatures combined. And they say that it's a reference to the fixed signs of the zodiac.
Mm-hmm.
Disposed, I don't quite understand it, disposed on the four directions of the space, like the corners of a pyramid. I find that hard to get an image of that, but in the Egyptian religion, the Sphinx is closely related to light. Mm-hmm. The religion centered around light.
Right.
And supposedly has some connection to the Orion constellation. So, back at Cydonia, in the northern hemisphere, some experts believe, of course, that there was once an ocean. So here you have fog, clouds, water, extinct volcanoes.
Mm-hmm.
I read somewhere that in order for a planet to be considered alive, it has to have active volcanoes.
Mm-hmm.
So at one point, did Mars have active volcanoes? And all this lava flowing into strange shapes and formations, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But then there's this cliffside on Mars that has a pharaoh carved on the hillside. A pharaoh.
No way.
Yeah. It's in the Victoria Crater.
Mm-hmm.
You can look that up. And on this cliffside, the stones are laid horizontally. They go horizontally.
Mm-hmm.
The statue is vertical. Vertical striation. So you can imagine a rock with straight lines across it.
Mm-hmm.
The way you stack your records, you know.
Right.
But the statue is the opposite. Its lines go up and down, not sideways.
Right.
So it wasn't carved out of that cliffside, or else it was carved out of that cliffside and then stood up.
Yeah.
It's a pharaoh. It's another one of those occasions when NASA says, well, that's just a trick of light and shadow. It's just a rock. Yeah, but it's a rock made of stone that's something more than just a rock. It's like the pyramids. Yeah, they're rocks.
Right.
So 58,000 anomalies, what would that suggest to you?
Oh, boy.
Shouldn't we be curious enough to keep looking?
Well, yeah.
And not dismiss Mars as a dead planet, nothing ever happened there. Well, obviously something did happen there.
Right.
If you look at the images yourself, you'll see building blocks, perfect squares. Well, nature can make some very strange formations.
Mm-hmm.
But so many of them collected in one place.
Right.
It doesn't seem feasible to me. And then there's Inca City, which is, if you look at the pictures, it looks like the grid work of a city.
Mm-hmm.
Streets, businesses, it looks like a town. Why would NASA conceal that?
I don't know. That pharaoh is pretty interesting looking.
You're looking at it?
Yeah. Yeah.
You think it's just a rock?
Gosh. It. It's pretty interesting.
So here we have pyramidal structures, not just in one place, but in many places.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have this pharaoh on the side of a cliff.
Right.
I can't help but think that there is some connection between ancient Mars and Egypt.
Yeah, especially with like those pyramids.
Well, I mean, what are the odds that we have the same structures on two planets?
And then the crown face, and then the Sumerian face, and then the rock face buried in sand, then the Egyptian-like statues, and the Meridiani face. There's a lot of stuff on Mars we don't talk about.
Well, why not?
Because it's all fake.
It's all fake, right.
And tricks of light and stuff.
Well, we seem to keep going back there, don't we? And how much money does that cost the American people?
Right.
How many billions?
So why would we want to start a civilization on Mars when there's nothing there to support life?
Well, we probably figured out that we're destroying this planet, and some select few will be able to escape the horrors to come.
Now, in the conspiracy front, rumor has it the super wealthy elite, they're going to escape to Mars because we can't save this planet.
Well, who's going to do the work for them, I wonder?
Well, us.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway.
And then, totally in a different area, the glass tubes of Mars, that to me is one of the most interesting, fascinating anomalies. Arthur C. Clarke, and you know how I like him, indicates that they are proof to him that this, that there's life on Mars. I thought when I looked at them that it was some kind of channel for water.
Yeah.
But at ExoPolitics, the Dr. Sala there did a great study on them, and he thinks they're organic.
Yeah.
That they're animals.
Oh, yeah?
That the tubes are translucent or even transparent, but at certain intervals there are these struts that support them. And they're big. I mean, let me see if I can find how big they are. Dr. Clarke says he convinced that there's life on Mars. He doesn't see any other interpretation of these glass tubes, whatever they are. They're 200 feet tall and 10 football fields long.
Wow.
He compares them to the Goodyear blimp, a gas bag.
Yeah.
Whatever they are. The primary gas is water, which is pretty scarce on Mars. And so the tubes are like the outer skin or covering of this animal, almost like giant leeches.
Right.
If you want to look that up, it's M1104220 for that image. Hoagland thought they were transparent earthworms.
Okay.
Pretty big earthworms.
Right, huge.
It reminds me of dunes.
And how come we wouldn't find one, or, you know, the Mars rover?
There's all kinds of images of them.
You know, but like see one like move or anything, you know?
That there's a good image on the ExoPolitics site of the actual black worms themselves. They look like they're kind of wiggling around, but it's not a video, so you don't see any motion.
Yeah.
So he was going to check back at that site later to see if they'd moved at all.
Okay.
But they were black, and they looked like gigantic black earthworms.
Huh. Okay.
So NASA says these are sand dunes. Sand dunes that somehow connect and support these struts at 90-degree angles.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty remarkable for a sand dune. I mean, I look at our sand dunes. They don't look anything like these glass tubes on Mars.
Right.
So, why is this not in the news?
I don't know. There's a lot of things I've noticed that aren't in the news that should be. But they're more interested in Russian collusion than planetary advancement or, you know, discoveries.
Well, this is a problem for me because I read about the Renaissance and Reformation, and I think sometimes that knowledge is the only way we can save ourselves from ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Knowledge and discovery. Think about how discovery changed the life of man. From fire, the wheel, on we move. And all these discoveries later, our lives are changed, and we are physically altered by these changes, these discoveries, not only in how we think, but how we perform.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't have to get in the wagon and ride 200 miles to see the family.
Right.
We just get on the internet.
Yeah.
Not the same thing, but discovery knowledge changes our lives. And some people will say, why care about Mars when we have so many problems here?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I go back to that premise. Knowledge can change us. And I have several scenarios for how we can be transformed into maybe a higher level of thinking.
Okay.
Wouldn't that be fun? Of our place in the cosmos. Mm-hmm. That life is not centered on this one little, tiny little dust ball of a planet. That there are millions of civilizations out there. And if we grow up, we might get to learn from them.
Mm-hmm.
If they would bother to teach us anything. Or how would they regard us?
Right, like an anthill. Right?
Well, I know Dr. Kaiku said that mankind would be regarded as an anthill, but wait a minute. We're ants who went to the moon.
Oh, yeah.
We're ants who create symphonies. We're ants who dream and imagine and adapt and change. And doesn't that qualify us for some consideration?
Not necessarily.
It's hard to think like a higher life form down here. And
right, right.
What would be their agenda? What would mm-hmm. be? What would they get out of it?
Would they think we were remarkable enough? Why don't they?
I would think they would regard us as having potential if we can get past this teenage adolescent stage of violence and greed and how we regard and use power. The real power is knowledge. That's the real power. So I have several scenarios of how to change the lives of all mankind.
Okay,
and
let's
save
hear
the
one.
World.
Let's
save
one of
the
them.
World here, people.
Okay.
One of them is in quantum mechanics. Mm-hmm. I think we've talked about this many times before. One of my dreams is that some quantum physicists will find the fingerprint of God in the subatomic layer of creation. Now, how would this change the world if we realize that God is not a human being and he's not a Methodist? For a long time, we thought the atom was the smallest thing there was.
Mm-hmm.
And then in World War II, in our search for weapons of mass destruction, we split the atom. Out come all these little subatomic particles. When we observe them, what you don't find is chaos.
Mm-hmm.
You find a gathering. They collect. They amass. They congregate. How'd they know to do that? The tiniest thing there is, as far as we know, pops into creation from where, I don't know how, and immediately goes to work. They are basically the same composition, shape, form. It's like the snowflake. What distinguishes one from the other is its function. Now, how is it a subatomic particle knows, is aware, what it's supposed to do without there being a plan?
And we're not aware of what we're supposed to do.
Absolutely
not. Isn't that
not.
Funny? Isn't that funny?
Which is one of the contradictions
we
of
can't,
man.
We can't figure out our preferred pronouns. And here we have what you just described, knowing what its mission, its job is.
Well, it's fascinating to read about, even though I don't really totally comprehend it. The Higgs boson is a great example.
Okay, explain what that is.
The Higgs boson is a subatomic particle that, the best metaphor I ever heard was that it behaves like a mother hen,
mm-hmm.
calling to her children to gather around her, thus allowing its atom to acquire mass. It wouldn't happen without that particular little subatomic particle.
Okay.
It's you can picture a mother hen in the barnyard calling to her kids, come on, let's get together here.
Right.
These particles don't collide accidentally. They collect on purpose, which indicates to me some kind of plan at hand.
Right. How do they know to do that? And what would happen if they didn't do that?
There wouldn't be anything.
It's all an accident, and that stuff happens? That stuff works all by accident?
All by accident, right. Yeah.
Huh. That's weird.
It's kind of like cognitive chaos. There's this explosion, and then all these little particles dance to some song and collect together.
Well, we got Star Mom in the studio. We're talking Mars and subatomic particles colliding, and stay tuned for more on Strange Harbor.
You're listening to Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.
Welcome to Strange Harbor. If you've had an out-of-the-ordinary experience, then come to strangeharbor.net and let us know what it is.
Well, with Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird. Bill is out today. Hopefully, he'll be back next week. He's under the weather. We have Star Mom sitting in, and we've been talking about Mars. We started out on Mars, and then we went down to a molecular level, right?
Well, below that even.
below a molecular level. The smallest, what is the tiniest level you can go?
The tiniest level.
What do they call that?
The subatomic.
The subatomic level. Okay. What do you want to talk about now?
I really like the subatomic because it's so mysterious how these little particles know what to do, which suggests kind of a cosmic awareness.
But everything happened by accident, though.
Well,
according to some people.
That's a pretty good accident, isn't it? In fact, the whole universe is out of balance in favor of life happening. It shouldn't happen at all.
Mm-hmm.
You think about it. It shouldn't happen. There's some peculiar imbalance that allows life to occur. And that's not an accident.
Isn't it something like one kernel of popcorn popping and it pops into the Sistine Chapel? It's like something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
That'll happen, sure.
Right.
So that's my hope, is that someday all the religions in the world will learn that God is not a Baptist. We can't describe God in human terms. He's not a human being. He's probably like the greatest singularity there ever was.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we should stop killing each other in God's name, since we don't really know it.
Okay.
That's just one hope. But I keep preaching about the Renaissance because it changed people's lives by freeing. But Henry VIII and all his difficulties with marriages broke with the Catholic Church, and finally allowed the people of England to have their own Bible and read it for themselves. And when they did so, they realized there's a whole lot of stuff they were taught that wasn't at all true. So that changed a belief system, which led to other discoveries like America.
Maybe that's why people don't believe in Sasquatch. They're kind of held down. That doesn't exist, and you're a kook if you believe in that stuff. But then, you know, we get more and more people that run into these creatures, and then, you know, and just more and more and more and more and more. And it's like, I know what I saw. 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 I know what I saw.
I have a girlfriend who was working at a casino, and they went out for a smoke break, her and several other employees, and witnessed a fleet of UFOs flying by out there on the ocean, and they didn't even comment. It was almost like they didn't know they saw what they saw.
Hmm. I wonder if they were aware that they saw it.
She asked one, and she said the girl said, yeah, I saw it, and went back into the casino. Made no comment, wasn't astonished. Huh. It was almost like they were deadened to it. And then I remember, how many years ago was it, that sightings at the Amanda Park Bridge, two nights in a row by reputable people, of a fleet of I think it was three UFOs skimming down the river there at Amanda Park Bridge. The deputy sheriff was one of the witnesses.
Wow.
You'd think that's a reliable witness for you.
Right.
And then the story dies. Why does the story die?
I don't know.
The Pentagon itself releases a video of an Air Force pilot engaged with a UFO, and then the story dies.
I'm surprised it just made the news at all.
Well, it took years for that to happen.
Right.
So is disclosure kind of a trickle, a little bit, and then a little bit more, and then a little bit more? And then you get to the full thing where, oh yeah, well, we've already got a base on Mars, and we're already robbing it of its any treasure that could be there.
Now, I heard the moon wasn't always there.
I've read that the moon was brought here, that it's an artificial satellite.
Yeah?
Yeah, there's striations on it that kind of reveal artificiality.
And like all the other moons, now I could be wrong on this one, but like all the other moons in the solar system, they spin, rotate, but ours doesn't.
Ours the one that doesn't, yes.
Now, is ours the only one that doesn't?
As far as I know, don't quote me on that. I don't know for sure, but as far as I know, it's the only one.
That's kind of weird.
That's very weird.
Why would all the other moons in the solar system spin around, but ours doesn't?
What holds it there? And then, of course, there are people that say there are bases on the moon already, alien bases.
On the other side,
on
the dark
side,
right?
Yeah. And then a lot of the astronauts, Neil Armstrong, there's a quote from Neil Armstrong about seeing alien spaceships on the moon and how superior they were to ours.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that was shut up completely. You can't let that kind of thing out.
Right.
Or what? Or what would happen? The Pentagon releases an Air Force pilot engaged with a UFO. People didn't panic.
No. They just went, wow.
Did they even notice?
Right. They were too busy. What was it? They were too busy staring at their screens. What was that from?
Orwell.
Yeah.
The Orwellian future is here.
Right.
I'm still stuck on the Renaissance because if there was another one come along right about now that could inform our belief systems with knowledge, not myths and hatreds and old vengeances and battles that have been going on for 3,000 years. And
do you think the Catholic Church has any aliens in their vault?
Yeah, I do. I think the Catholic Church is sitting on a lot of information.
Yeah.
And why would they even be involved in the alien question?
They might see it as a, or at least back then, you know, thousands of years, they might have thought it would jeopardize their power. Remember, they used to run the show, remember?
Oh, yeah, they absolutely ran the show. Every single thing you did in life was controlled by them or the king, so, you know.
Right.
Just who wanted to live then? But they have been involved in the alien question for quite some time.
I mean, they have a telescope, right?
Yeah, several. In fact, I think he bought one in Arizona. Not to mention the one in Rome.
Now, isn't that to, like, see God or something?
Is it?
Well, I don't know.
You know how I like Dr. Joseph Campbell. He said preachers should stop preaching about sin and damnation and start talking about the radiance. You can't sell it. It's free, so God is free.
Right.
So if you have a renaissance of belief that the creator behind, the designer behind this superstructured universe, all the galaxies spinning in perfect timing, I mean,
right,
is timed to a perfection. Did that happen by accident?
Even like the Earth's axis, the tilt, the wobble.
Yeah. But if it didn't, where would we be?
Right.
If we have this renaissance of belief, could we maybe go up a level in our thinking of, I've got to hate those guys over there because they call God by the wrong name? But if we discovered finally and for sure that the universe is a construction for life to happen.
But not an accident?
Not an accident.
Mm-hmm.
Could we then use knowledge to gain more knowledge? And when you gain knowledge, and share it, and then figure out ways to apply it, we're going to be able to take mankind into a future. Future is now. Let's make it happen now.
Did you hear Tom Powell's last presentation? He was talking about how he has this theory. We have this kind of this cloud. It's like a iCloud, and we're just a part of it. Our knowledge that we have and is just part of a cloud, and it's like we all kind of plug into it, and some of us get more than others, like the Elon Musks kind of get you know,
that's
different.
Kind
of
what Tesla was talking about. He said he got his information from afar. It came from afar.
And that, you know, when we die, that data is still there in that cloud.
Yeah.
I forgot how he said it, but it made a lot more sense
that
the way he put it.
The Jungian sea of consciousness where all knowledge is in one place, and when you dream or imagine, you can access that place. I know a lot of times when I write, it'll come out very easily and kind of flow, and I'll look back and read it later and think, where the hell did that come from?
I've had ideas from dreams where it was like, oh my gosh, that is the greatest idea, and that's going to make me so wealthy. But then I went back to sleep, and I forgot it.
Yeah, I've had that happen, too.
Right,
yeah.
And it's just like, oh, man, what was it? And just kind of like Keith Richards, when he woke up and had his recorder and played it, and it was the guitar riff for Satisfaction. He woke up out of dream and, you know, like hummed it or whatever, and then went back to sleep. He would have forgotten it had he not had that tape recorder before going back to sleep and forgetting it.
Always keep a notepad.
Right.
Beside your bed.
Right.
So that you can write it down, some signal that will make you remember it.
Right.
The shaman said you pick a small detail. The tip of the unicorn horn.
What if you forget that?
It's a trigger to the memory.
Oh.
It reminds me of Jung's sea of consciousness, and there are many writers who feel that way, that their ideas, what they wrote, didn't come out of their brain. They were simply the conduit. It passed through them from somewhere else.
Wow. Wish we could figure that one out.
Well, if the universe is totally aware, how do we access all its information? Would we not be overwhelmed?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, at a certain age, a child can comprehend a certain amount of information.
Mm-hmm.
When you get older, you can get a little bit more, and maybe that's true of us as a species. I mean, a caveman's not going to look for subatomic particles.
Well, no.
So you keep advancing and advancing, and that's my hope, is that through some discovery, through some shining piece of knowledge, we can change lives for humanity beyond hatred and violence and war as the solution to every single thing on Earth.
I don't think there's too many people that like are into that.
Knowledge?
No, hate and war. I mean, there's some, the wrong ones.
It seems like there's a lot of religious fanatics who want to kill Americans because,
well, yeah,
we're Americans.
But I was just talking about Americans. I don't know a lot of Americans that want that. They're pretty much just like, you know, just want to do their own thing. But.
Well, I think the large majority of Americans are so busy and focused trying to pay the rent, educate their kids, and pay the dentist, and do those things you have to do every month, and
right,
hope you got enough. And it's kind of unfair, in a way, that instead of being fed and informed knowledge, look at what we're informed on. You know, the marital life of the Kardashians.
But hey, let's change gears. I have a Sasquatch sighting around the Tohola area. This person opened the door to go outside because the dog wanted out, but then the dog stopped at the door, wouldn't move. So this person was hollering at the dog, going, you know, go to the bathroom, so he could go back to bed, because this is like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Dog wouldn't budge. All of a sudden, he heard a whoop for about 45 seconds, then a splash, something thrown into the river. Another 45-second whoops of whoops. Three times, the whoops and the splash sound like something's getting thrown into the water. His hair stood up on his arms when he was hearing the whooping, but eventually he went back to bed.
He just went back to bed?
Right. Well, it was creepy and scary, and he was tired. It was 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. The dog woke him up in the first place.
Yeah, I wonder why the dog woke him up. He just sensed it outside, and then he's too scared to go outside?
I guess.
Wonder what he was doing. Of course, they must be coming out now for maybe
fish?
Hibernation or something.
Fish.
Fish?
Yeah.
Huh.
So I would
Hungry
think.
Hungry Sasquatch.
Right.
Don't get in his way.
Right.
That's a great sighting.
Well, I mean, I guess he didn't really see it, but
he just heard it.
He heard it, and the dog never had a problem going outside, apparently, but this time he did.
Yeah, I remember one time going out to Quinault to our gifting site, and my dog would usually jump out of the car and just race around like crazy, and the last time she didn't want out of that car for any reason at all.
Wow.
Why? Was it a mountain lion? Was it a bear? What was it?
Right.
She had something we didn't get. But, of course, out there, I've had some kind of strange experiences with zapping. Hunting partner and I were sitting on a log by the river, and she got zapped and I didn't.
Hey, no fair.
No kidding. Well, why her? She's a lot nicer than I am. But she felt nauseated and ready to throw up and dizzy and so disoriented. And
wow.
We left that area, and in a few minutes after leaving that area, she felt a little better.
Mm-hmm.
Took a while, but why would they zap her?
Or zap her in a bad way, because, you know, I hear that you can be zapped in a good way, too.
Yeah.
So, did they not like her?
Well, I don't know anybody that wouldn't like her. She's probably the nicest person on Earth, but maybe they wanted her to learn something. She's had all kinds of sightings. I mean, she's kind of a regular sighter out there on the beach. Early one morning going to work, before dawn, she saw a UFO up on Bunker Hill.
Wow.
Just sitting there.
Yeah.
She's gone out fishing and had seen ships underneath the water going really fast.
Wow.
And the radar on their boat suggested it was not a submarine.
Oh, they had radar even.
There's some computer system now that the boats have to have.
Yeah.
And she also said, and I thought this was interesting, that there's an area out there that's forbidden, a forbidden zone out in the ocean. I think she said about 50 miles out.
Forbidden for who?
For commercial fishermen.
Oh, why would that be?
I don't know.
Okay, it could be just, it's so dangerous. So, right?
More so than any other spot in the ocean?
Maybe there's a reef there. I'm just trying to be a skeptic here.
I don't know. I don't know the answer. I just know all the questions, huh?
What do you know of the Markham UFO crash?
I don't know anything.
Oh, okay, never mind.
When did that happen?
That was the one by Ocean Spray.
Oh, I don't call it that.
What do you call it?
The Elk River.
Okay.
I call it the Elk River Incident.
Okay. What do you know about that?
Well, years later, when I was working at a restaurant out there, I served many customers who were eyewitnesses.
Mm-hmm.
One was this old salt fisherman, a crazy Italian guy. He said he was underneath the bridge fishing when this ship flew over. And he told me, no matter what they say it was, it did not come from this planet.
Yeah?
So it sails over the bridge and crashes just beyond the bridge in the waterway. And then all these Navy SEAL types and government types show up in downtown Westport. And one of the ladies who worked there was a cook. Her husband was a fisherman.
Mm-hmm.
And the government agents had rented his boat and went out to the ocean every day doing something. So one night the girls got a little tipsy and decided to sneak on the boat and see what they were up to.
Yeah.
And they found charts of UFO bases out there under the water.
Wow. Okay.
To add a mysterious twist to that story, when all that calmed down and all the government types left, the man got his fishing boat back and went out fishing and disappeared. They found the boat. There was no sign of any trouble, mechanical failure, bad weather, rogue waves. He was just gone. Never found.
And how long had he been fishing?
Like, all his life.
All his life?
Old salt fisherman, yeah.
And
wasn't drunk, not a drinker.
Just ended up missing.
Yeah, just gone.
Coincidentally, after the men in black leave.
Well, before they left, they made the witnesses sign agreements that they would never speak of this incident and mm-hmm. what they had seen, but you can't shut up a fisherman.
Right.
So he told it to everybody. It was a great story to listen to.
Now, I understand that there are still people that live out there that sign these.
Yeah, a few haven't died mysteriously. A couple others have, but
I wonder if they would talk. What if they come on the show?
Well, yeah. I hope so.
You know, that would be cool, right?
It is listed on the SETI site.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Was it November 79?
Well, we've had James Clarkson, who wrote a book on it, on the show.
Living out there, there are a lot of strange lights in the sky. I would go out on the deck and stare out due west and watch. I'd watch these ships come.
Mm-hmm.
And they would fly east, stop, hover, flash, and then zoom away at tremendous speed. So not a satellite, not an airplane, not a helicopter, not swamp gas, not weather balloons, not misplaced blimps.
Yeah.
But some kind of ship that could achieve not only this ability to maneuver like U-turns going 3,000 miles an hour, but piloted ships.
Yeah.
I think we'll stop here and we'll flash lights at this woman so she can go completely crazy instead of just halfway.
Right.
And it was a regular event. I mean, it's not something you just see once a year, once in your lifetime, and it never happens again.
Right.
But it's the consistency of those sightings. Now, how many sightings are there in the United States of America in a year? I mean, thousands and thousands and thousands. You can discount a whole bunch of them, but right. You're going to whittle it down to some that cannot be discounted. And yet, nobody notices. If an alien was standing in the grocery line at Safeway, would anybody take note? Hey, where are you from?
No, they'd probably give them dirty looks or something.
You're not like us. You're not one of us, so you can't belong here.
Right.
Yeah. Do any of us belong here? We're not very good tenants. If I was the landlord of planet Earth, I'd have some serious reservations about renting to us.
I really think that white people are from, like, another planet. Because when we came to America, it was so nice. It was just Indians. And they weren't even Indians. We called them that by accident. And we still call them that. Like, we knew in a month that it wasn't Indians, but we just don't give a shit. We never correct it. We came here, and they're like, hi. And we're like, hey, you're Indians, right? And they're like, no. No, this is India, right? No, it's not. It's a totally other place. You're not Indians? No. Ah, you're Indians. You're Indians for hundreds of years after. We ruined everything here. This was the great... It was just coast to coast, just green and brown and beautiful. And all the humans were just walking around with painted faces just walking, and they'd be like, "Ooh, that looks yummy," and then they just eat from the ground, and then they'd sleep on the grass, and they'd wake up and they'd and then they'd go for a swim and do a little dance. That was the whole continent, was just folks doing that. I mean, there was people in Mexico cutting off kids' heads and rolling them down the pyramid stairs. But that's always going on. What are you gonna, you can't do a whole lot about that. But I think we came from another planet, and the reason is because we don't like it here. I mean, why, if we're from here, if we belong on Earth, why aren't we comfortable on Earth at all? We need nice, smooth surfaces and right angles, and we need it to be cool and not too hot, just perfect. Like, why wouldn't, when it's hot, why wouldn't we just, it? Why wouldn't we be like that if we belong here? And it's weird because people that are, whatever you call the, you know, there's environmentalists and then there's people who are whatever. They just are hate environmentalists. But that's what people get angry at environmentalists, because they think they're slowing down the economy and creating restrictions. And a lot of these people are Christian. A lot of these people are very devout Christians. And that's such a confusing thing to me, that if you believe that God gave you the earth, that God created the earth for you, why would you not have to look after it? Why the f***? Why would you not think that when he came back, he wouldn't go, "What the f*** did you do? I gave this to you, motherfucker. Are you crazy? The polar bears are brown. What did you do to the polar bear? Did you s*** all over every polar bear? Who did this? Who spilled this? Who spilled this? Come over. Did you spill this? What is that?"
"It's oil. It's just some oil. I didn't mean to spill."
"Well, why did you take it out of the ground?"
"Because I wanted to go faster.
I'm not fast enough. And I was cold." "What the do you mean cold? I gave you everything you needed, you piece of s***."
"Well, because jobs soon.
What is a job? Explain to me. What's a f***ing job?"
"You go, like, you work at a place, and when people call when their game doesn't work, and you help them figure it out."
"What do you do that for?"
"For money."
"What do you need money for?"
"Food."
"Just eat the s*** on the floor. I left s*** all over the floor. S***ing corn and wheat and s*** grab it and make some bread. What are you doing?"
"Yeah, but it doesn't have, like, bacon around it, and, like, I like when it has, like bacon on it."
Well, that'll do it for this episode of Strange Harbor. Star Mom, thanks for filling in.
Very welcome.
Will you come back and share your wisdom?
I'm sure you'll twist my arm.
Hopefully we'll have Billy back next week. If you want to get a hold of us, if you want to yell at him for his new age TUI, just log on to strangeharbor.net. And then this is where you can say, "Stay strange."
Stay strange.
You're listening to Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor.